Praise the Lord. I'd like to take a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to share something with you this morning. And I trust the Lord will bless us. Praise the Lord. Jesus is speaking. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. There's a few verses here I want to read. It's just beginning the reading at verse 10. 10, 11, and 12. Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Now, maybe I'll just end the reading there this morning. We'll just ask the Lord to bless us this morning. Our Father, this morning, we thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the songs that you allow us to sing. And Lord, we know that you're risen from the dead this morning. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for all your goodness and all your mercy. I just ask, Lord, for your help this morning. Lord, without you we can do nothing. But Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll come. And Lord, you're already among us. And we pray the Holy Spirit will have free course in Jesus Christ's name. And for your honor and for your glory, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. And I just want to try to speak this morning about something, and I believe it's a very simple thing, but I believe the Lord spoke to me concerning it. And I've written down some notes as usual, and I wanted to speak about the true riches. Now, this portion of scripture here is, I'm certain it's the portion of scripture that I was to write down, but I haven't seen in this portion what I wanted to say. It's not here now. I don't know if I've made a mistake, but Verse 12 says, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." Now, you'll have to forgive me here this morning, because I don't know how I done this. It's the scripture where the Lord is speaking to his disciples, and he says to them, if we're not faithful in the least things, God's not going to commit to us the true riches. Wouldn't you think I would have wrote the scripture down where I read that? But
it's not verse 11.
It is verse 11. It is verse 11. See, sometimes you can read the Bible and you're blindfolded. You can read the Bible and you can be blindfolded. You say, if you want to know that, you are. And I haven't come here this morning to shout, and probably I will shout, because I said I wasn't shout. You see, sometimes we say we're going to do something and then we do that. We don't do it always. We don't always do it. But I want this morning, if I can, to speak about this, the three witches. And you know, I'm standing up here and I'm reading the Bible and I'm not seeing what's really here. Sometimes, you see, we can read the scripture and not see. Now, I'm not acting. I didn't come here to act. You know, when I read this, I missed that part. I read it, but I missed it. You know, there's so many times we can be so close to something and miss it. Now, I want to speak about the three riches. And Jesus said in verse 11, thanks, Gary. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammoth, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now it's the true riches that I want to try to speak to you about this morning. Because they're available. The true riches is available.
Amen.
And there is such a thing as the true riches.
Amen.
Now, you know, I'm not a good speller, but I should be at the blackboard probably writing it down here, the true riches. And I've made some notes. Boy, I'm some boy for making notes. But I have a question asked, and the question I have asked is, what are the true riches? Now, what are the true riches? And I have listed a list of things that are the true riches, and I've listed some things that are not the true riches. Now, I heard somebody preaching one time, and they did use an illustration, and it was quite good. And they said, sometimes if you want to know what something is, try to find out what it is not, and you'll know what it is. If you can find out what something is not, you'll have a better understanding of what it is. So if we can find out briefly what the true riches are not, we maybe have a better understanding of what the true riches are.
Amen. Amen.
Now I want to say, first of all, that the true riches is what Jesus Christ said, and he said it, you know, you could miss it easily. First of all, he said that they were the true riches.
Amen.
So these riches are really true.
Amen.
So they're not false.
Amen.
Now, they're true. That's what Jesus said. They were the true riches.
Yes.
So we know that there's no element of falsehood among these riches. There's not one speck, there's not 1% among the true riches that is false.
Amen.
Not even 1%. But it is 100% the true riches. It's really
Amen.
True. There's not a flaw. There's not a flaw nowhere. It is exactly true. And you know, when something's true, you can't make any alteration.
Yes.
Whenever anything is true, it's true. Leave it alone. It doesn't need anything added to it. It doesn't need anything taken away from it.
Amen.
It's exactly the truth. It's the true riches, brother. It's
Amen.
True, sister. And it's not false.
Amen.
Nothing false about something that is true.
Amen.
I want to tell you today, there's a true riches that's available for you and for me. I want to tell you today, I believe you've got it.
Amen.
You've got a true riches within you.
Amen.
It's perfect. Jesus said it. It wasn't an ordinary man that said it.
Amen.
That is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
He said it. But he gave us a key. Now, I'm not going to maybe dwell much on the key, but he said the key to this was faithfulness. And he said also to be faithful in the smallest of smallest things. He said, if you're faithful in the small thing, you're going to be faithful in the big thing.
Amen.
Now, that's a law. I believe it's a law of practice. A man who or a woman who is faithful in the smallest things, the wee insignificant things, the wee things that nobody sees maybe, or you wouldn't count. But Jesus, I believe that's the key to the true riches, is faithfulness. And there's a link there. Now, I'll maybe come to that later. Now, because it's the true riches of God, now I've written down here the answer, one of the answers you could write up about what is the true riches is the love of the truth. The love of the truth.
Amen.
That's one of the true riches. Now we'll maybe come to that later. And we'll want you to see where that's important to have that love. But this true riches, we said there's nothing false about it. So that means then that it's not a counterfeit. It's not a counterfeit experience. The true riches is not a counterfeit. Now you see, I can bring, you think I'm rich? I can bring out a £5 note, no account. That's the way. That's what I had. But if I had a £5 note, no, pardon me, I could bring you out a genuine £5 note. Now I think it's a genuine one. But because there's a genuine one, there can be a counterfeit. There can be a counterfeit. What is a counterfeit? A counterfeit is a copy which is not exactly true. I'm going to say that again. A counterfeit is a copy which is not exactly true.
Yes, I will.
Now, anything that is true is not a counterfeit, and anything that is a counterfeit is not true.
Amen.
So some people today, and they'll know what has happened, Satan has passed them on to a counterfeit experience, which is not a true experience. I believe that. And I believe that people today can have counterfeit experiences and counterfeit truths. Now, counterfeit truth is a lie. It's not
the truth.
It's a lie. If I have a £5 note, that's a false £5 note. That's not a true £5 note. It's a lie £5 note. It's a lie. It's a counterfeit. It's not worth nothing. What's it worth? What can you buy with it? Well, you'll have to deceive somebody if you want to spend it. You'll have to deceive somebody. But if you meet somebody that knows what the original looked like.
Amen.
If you meet somebody that comes back preaching the original.
Amen.
Oh, brother.
Amen.
When you hear that shout.
Hallelujah.
When you hear about the original. When you hear about how it happened on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
When you hear about how it happened at Calvary.
Amen.
When you hear about it, when Mary came to the tomb as we were singing this morning.
Amen.
And how the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty.
Amen.
You know that you've got something that's real.
Amen.
You know that you've got something that's not a counterfeit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know you've got something that is true.
Amen.
Oh, praise His holy name. It's not a counterfeit. But then what happens when people get a counterfeit? If you take anything that's counterfeit, you're a participant. That's maybe not even the right way to say the word, but you have been in part, or you have participated in something that isn't true, in something that is false. And when you do that, thinking that it is genuine, whenever it is not a genuine article, you are deceived.
Amen.
You're deceived. You're deceived. So, what are we trying to say today? I'm trying to say that if you have got the true riches, you're not deceived.
Amen.
You're not deceived when you have got the true riches, when you have got something that's true, when you have got something that's real, when you have got something that doesn't need any alteration, doesn't need anything taken away or anything added to it. You've got something that's perfect. You've got the true riches of God.
Amen.
So you're not deceived. But let me say, this is a danger. If people haven't got this, they are deceived. See, they are deceived. Now, if you're calling better sweet and sweet better, you're deceived. You know, when I was over there with Brother Frank Hall last week, he was bringing me down the street in Bromley at night. And now, I don't want to get off the track here, but it was Saturday night, and it was 9:30, 9 o'clock, maybe about 9 o'clock. And what comes walking down the street? Two lovers. Now, Roy Yule, I want you to listen to this. They're armed around each other. But you know what the shock? You know what the shock was? The shocking thing was, two women. Two sodomite women.
Right.
Now, that's two people that's deceived.
Right.
We went to see Mr. Darwin's house. Charles Darwin lived in a big house in County Down over there in Bromley. And there's a County Down in Bromley, and it's spelled D-O-W-N-E. And it was spelled D-O-W-N-E because the postman mark was taking the letters that was meant to go there, and they were bringing them here to County Down here. And the County Down letters was going to Bromley. And somebody come up with a bright idea. Look, says, look, you better put an E on the end of this down. So Charles Darwin lived in County Down. Over in England, that's where he lived, in County Down. It's spelled D-O-W-N-E. And I went to his house with Brother Frank, and we went in there. And when we went in, Brother Frank goes up to the desk or the counter where you pay your fee for the visit to home. And I was there, but I didn't pay much attention to what Brother Frank had to give him. But his wife, Sister Mary, came with us, and we went to see where Charles Darwin lived. And when we walked, Brother Frank goes up to the counter, and he says, the man says to Frank, we had some creationists in here last week. And Frank says, well, I'm one.
Amen. All right.
Why did I mention that? I mentioned that because Charles Darwin was deceived.
Amen.
He was deceived. And because there was something about him, in the first place, that he got deceived. I'm going to tell you what it was. Now, this is a big statement. He hadn't got any love for the Scripture. He had no love for this Bible. Now, if anybody has no love for the Scripture, they're easy to see. They might think they're intelligent. You know, when he died, he got a state funeral. Charles Darwin got a state funeral. He was recognized as a hero. He was recognized, and that other silly man came on, David Attenborough, and you get the earphones and you put them on and you push the button and you go into all the wee rooms round the house, and there's a story in every room, and David Attenborough is on there talking and how that he came to this knowledge and how the experiments he was, and you know, oh, you just think to hear it was, oh, he was Superman.
Yes.
But Superman or not Superman, he was deceived.
Right.
He was, the Darwin theory is absolutely false.
Amen.
I come home then and I go to the barber there one of the days. I beggedly go to the barber and there's a young barber. Well, he's a good young barber for cutting hair, but he's deceived. I started to tell him that I was over and saw where Charles Darwin lived. And I told him what Frank said and what the mom said, and he said, "Well, I believe I came from a monkey." And I says, "Can you give me your reasons why you believe that?" He says, "Well, I act like one sometimes." And I says to him, "Well, then, what way would you stand regarding the resurrection from the dead? How would you stand?" Oh, he says, "I believe I'll come back, but I'll not come back as a man. It could be a monkey, it could be a dog, or it could be a cat." And I didn't say too much more to him. It changed the subject, but it was, I said, "Well, you taught it in school." And he says, "Well, actually, we're taught both. Actually taught both." And then left to make up their own minds. You know, little children, you need instructed.
Amen.
The little children needs to be instructed. The word of the Lord came to Moses and said, "Tell your children."
Amen.
"And tell your children's children."
Hallelujah.
The things that God has done.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Tell your children the things that God has done. You see, this world and its knowledge has not retained God in their thinking. You see, and really one of the men, you know, Charles Darwin's thing was not really science, it was religion. It was more of religion than it was a counterfeit. It was a lie. It was nothing to do with the true riches, but it was the false poverty. If you haven't got riches, you've got poverty.
Right.
Yes. If you haven't got truth, you've got false. Right. If you haven't got the truth, you've got a lie.
Right. Amen.
And if you've got damn things, then you're deceived. If you think you're right when you're wrong, was it Paul or Peter? One of the apostles wrote, Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he says, "When a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth his own self."
Amen.
Right. Yes.
See, wise advice. Thank God there's a group that has the true riches.
Amen.
There is a group that has the true riches.
Amen.
I want to look at a couple of examples are in the scripture. You know, you could spend a lot of time in this, you could go into this really and look at it. You could spend more time. You know, some of these things you just can't cover them in one service. But listen, you could go into this here and look at it, and you'll find it through the scripture. Men of God. Men of God who had the true riches. Now, we have established the level of what the true riches are, and we have established a little of what the true riches are not. And I want to say that the true riches is a promise of God, a promise of God's word fulfilled in your life. That can be one of the true riches that God gives you, a promise, and it comes to pass in your life. Now there is already some things that has came to pass in your life perhaps, and there's maybe more to come. Yes, I believe there can be more to come, but I believe that when God gives you something, it's true.
Amen.
And God doesn't give you anything that's not rich. God gives all things richly. And I believe he doesn't give you anything skimping it. He wants to give you a full measure. Now, I want to say, true riches comes from God. True riches comes from the Lord. There's only one source. Now, what makes me say that? Or how can I say that? Well, I want to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Now, I think I've got the scripture right this time, Gary. You'll have to watch me. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16, and I want to read some verses here. Now this is a man who got the true riches, who got some of the true riches, and at this stage in his life he has got the true riches and he maybe doesn't really recognize that he has it. Now it is possible for you to have the true riches and maybe you don't just realize you've got them. But I believe Peter had them here. Now, I need to stop talking and start reading. And it's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and it's verse 16. And the Lord has asked the question in verse 15. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And verse 19 goes on to say, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom."
Yes.
"And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Praise the Lord. You know, I want to say that there's the true riches. Now, I read that portion of scripture because I want you to know that you don't get the true riches from flesh or blood.
Amen.
You don't get this here from a man. There's no human can impart this to you. There's no way you can go into a shop and buy a quarter pound of it or a kilo of true riches. You can't buy it. It has to come from the Father.
Yes.
It has to come from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It has to come from God. Yes. And it has to come on you.
Yes.
And you know, whenever Peter said, "Thou art the Christ,
yes,
the Son of the living God." That's the true riches coming out,
amen.
Isn't it? That's the true riches coming out. That's the Holy Ghost speaking. Now, Peter hadn't got the Holy Ghost there, I don't believe, but God was moving on him. God was dealing with him. God had put his hand on him. God was wanting to give him something. God had already given him something, but God was wanting to give him more of the same Spirit that would raise Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. And whenever he recognized who Christ was, Jesus said something. He said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven."
Amen.
Let me say this. The true riches doesn't mean deceiving and being deceived, but it means revealing. The true riches is revealing, not deceiving. There's some people today, and they're in a place where God is revealing himself. And there's other people, and they're in a place where they're deceiving their own selves.
Yes.
They're being deceived and deceiving others. God doesn't want us to be deceived. I believe that's why he sent a messenger to the last church age.
Amen.
I believe that's why we had a 20th century prophet of God, so that we wouldn't be deceived. I believe also that is why the Holy Ghost was sent.
Amen.
The genuine article Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Wasn't sent so that you wouldn't be deceived. Now here's Peter. How on earth did he know that Jesus was not the son of Joseph? Now Mary had that wee baby, that wee illegitimate child. They weren't married, they were just about to get married. The angel come down and said, what had Joseph? Joseph had true riches.
That's right.
How did he get them?
Yes.
The angel came down, the angel of the Lord came down. What did he say? He said, "Fear not, Joseph. Amen. To take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Amen. Hallelujah.
All right.
Hallelujah. You know, Joseph went over to Mary and he put his arms around her and he says, "We're going to be married, Mary. Hallelujah. We're going to live together, Mary. I know you're expecting a baby, Mary. I know we haven't been together as a man and woman, but the Lord, I believe, has spoke to me, and I've got the true riches down in my soul. I've got the true riches down in my heart, and I believe God, and I believe it'll be even as he has said." Hallelujah. You see, but then Jesus come on the scene, and the Pharisees looked at him and said, "That man casts out devils by the devil." Didn't they? They said, "That man has a devil. Stay away from him. Don't you go down to any of them meetings. Don't you go down to them men. Them men, oh, them men's going astray. Them men's following him on. Them men's following somebody who says he came from heaven. And we know his father's a carpenter."
Yes, amen.
"We know he's a carpenter. He was born down in Bethlehem out of wedlock. Illegitimate boy. We know he's false." Philip, what did Philip say to Nathanael? "He has come. We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets."
Amen.
We have found him.
Hallelujah.
You know, some people today are looking for an Elijah ministry. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? Some people are looking for an Elijah ministry and they missed him.
Right.
Why, Philip could come down and Philip said, "We have found him." Nathanael says, "Can any good thing come out of Galilee or Nazareth?" What did Philip say? "Come and see for yourself.
Amen.
Get the experience and then you can talk."
Amen.
You get the experience yourself and then you can talk.
Yes.
Come and see. Now I have to move on. Oh boy, the time is flying. But you see, I want you to notice that Peter had something and you can't buy this. There's no man can impart it to you. God gives it to you. It's the gift of God. It's God.
Amen.
God has to do it. It's the gift of God. It's God imparting it to you. Nobody else. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. But he goes on to tell Peter that how he's going to give him the keys of the kingdom. And that's the riches. The keys of the kingdom, that's the riches. That's the true riches. That's the genuine article. Now, I want to move on. See what he told him there. Told him it doesn't come, it only comes from one source. There's only one giver. That's God.
Amen.
You see, Charles Darwin could never explain, neither can any scientist ever tell you where life came from.
That's right.
They can't do it. And you know, even the scientists today, a bit more advanced, they know the Darwin theory is wrong. And somebody said about the DNA, because the DNA contains a set of detailed information plans how to erect or construct the figure or the body. And there's detailed information in there, and if you use the wrong part, it'll not work. So there's no such thing as single selective species. There's no such thing as saying, "Oh, I'll take a piece of this and I'll take a piece of that." No, it'll not work. You see, everything is manufactured till a code of practice according to a master wise builder.
Amen.
Who drew the plans, who gave the DNA, and then gave the life.
Amen.
Only the self-existing one can give the life.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
He said, "I'm the door of the sheepfold. He that climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber."
Amen.
There's one way to get to God, that's through Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
There's one way. Jesus is that way. Now, I want to look at a moment at 2 Thessalonians. 2nd book of Thessalonians in chapter 2. Now, I'm a bit slow at turning the scriptures sometimes. So you just turn with me if you want. In the 2nd book of Thessalonians. And it's chapter 2. And I want to read some things here that Paul is speaking about. And I want to read from verse, well, I'm going to read from verse 9. Now, pardon me. Jesus said when he was on earth, he came in his Father's name, and they didn't receive him. He said another would come in his own name, and him they would receive. Now he's talking about the Antichrist. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, we read these words, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now they're lying. They're not true signs.
Amen.
They're lying. They're false.
Yes.
Right away, they're false. Lying wonders. "And with all deceivableness." Now I want you to notice the word deceivableness. See, all deceivable, everything that he does will be deceiving.
Amen.
All deceivableness. Of unrighteousness. The opposite from righteousness.
Right. Yeah.
They'll do the opposite. You see, and this deceivableness and its unrighteousness. And it's in them that perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, it wasn't that they didn't hear the truth. It wasn't that they didn't know the truth. Now I know Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But there's something else here. It was that they hadn't received the love of the truth. They had never received the love of the truth. You know, I'm not kicking down Charles Darwin, but if he had loved the Bible, he never would have done what he done.
That's right.
If some people would love the scripture, would love the word, would love the... You know, if you love the word, you love God.
Amen.
If you don't love the word, you don't love God.
That's right.
Now, that's why the word's important. And it's why it's important that you love the word. Now, you know, whenever Peter first heard Jesus speaking, there was something about him that caught Peter's attention.
Yeah.
And I believe that the Lord, the Father from heaven, revealed to Peter who Jesus was. But not only that, he gave him a love for him. He loved to hear him speaking. Why don't we love to hear his voice, don't we?
Amen.
We love to hear his word. We love to read his word. We love to listen to his word been taught. We love to hear his word been preached. But there's a group of men in the back. Paul says they never received the love of the truth. They received not the love of the truth. You know what the love of the truth is? It's one of the true riches. You know, if you love the truth today, you've got something that's true.
Amen.
You've got something that's rich. Brother, sister, if you love the Word of God, if you love God's Word, you have got something in you that's so true.
Amen.
And you've got something that's really rich. You're rich. You're rich. That's the true riches. Now, do you see if people doesn't love this Word of God? Now, to love the Word of God, you will love what God has done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To love the Word of God, you will love what God is doing now.
Yeah. Yes.
And to love the Word of God, you will love what God is going to do in the future. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, I believe that we love what God has done, especially what He done in the 20th century when He sent us the Spirit of Elijah again. I believe that. But let me say this. There's a price to be paid if people forsake the love of the Word.
Yes.
There's a price to be paid. There's a penalty. There's a penalty if you break the speed limit and you're caught. There's a penalty. There's a penalty if you don't tax your car in this country and you're caught. There's a penalty. There's a penalty if you don't insure your car and you're caught. There's a penalty. There's a penalty if you're driving with baldy tires. There's a penalty. There's penalty points on your license. Hope I don't get on it. Many the time I maybe should have had one or two, but I escaped. You see, in God's law, nobody escapes.
Right? Amen.
Everybody's held accountable. Everybody's held accountable when God comes on the scene. You know, there's a very all these verses are very important. But I want you to notice verse 11 here. And verse 11 is the penalty. Verse 11 is the penalty for rejecting the truth. Verse 11 is the penalty for not receiving the love of the truth. Now some people doesn't even receive the truth. And some people might say they have the truth, but they have no love for the truth. Because they let the truth be contaminated. And they'll not counteract it. There's God's penalty there in verse 11 that says, and for this cause, something brought it on.
Yes.
Something brought it on in Darwin.
Right.
Something brought it on in the atheists. Something brought it on today. And God says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So once any man, woman, or child starts to believe a lie, they're deceived. And God said He would send them strong delusion. Now, I could put orange juice in here. You have diluting orange. I could put diluting orange in this, and this here glass would turn orange. But it's diluted. But if I only put in a wee speck, it wouldn't be diluted greatly. Sure it wouldn't. It'd still be mainly water. But if I poured all the water out till only half an inch in the bottom here of water, and then I filled it up full with orange dilute, that's strong delusion.
Right.
Takes longer to get out of the system.
Right.
You see, your body infected. There's many people today and they've got a bad infection. What is the infection they've got? The doctor doesn't see these cases. They're deluded. Delusion. Why are they deluded? God allowed it to happen. Because they rejected the truth. Delusion can come on them. And it's not a mild case. It's a strong case. Why? How do you examine somebody? There's the
Amen.
There's the kit.
Right.
This word. That's how you examine them. Run that over them. Run the word over them. Run it past them. I'm going to read on here for the some wonderful verses. You see, He said God would send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Why? He gives the reason that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, you see somebody standing up today and he says he's a minister of the gospel, and he says that God's a God of love, And God wants to embrace the homosexual. God wants you to be a homosexual. He wants a man to live with a man. He wants a woman to live with a woman. And God wants to embrace you, and He wants to set you as a pillar in the church. Well, that's perversion. That's strong delusion. Now, God said, it sounded not that they all might be damned, but they would believe a lie. And He said that they had pleasure in unrighteousness. They didn't only do unrighteous, people didn't do only do unrighteous, but they took pleasure in doing the opposite of the will of God. There's a penalty to be paid. Now, I need to read on. I want to move on quickly here. I want to read on down to verse 20. Listen to what he said in verse 13. And this is to the believer. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Amen.
So we believe the truth because God led us to believe it.
Amen.
We see the truth because God allowed us to see the truth. We are sanctified today because God sanctified us. And why are we sanctified? We're sanctified because God has chosen us to be sanctified.
Amen.
You're here in this room this morning because God chose you to be here in this room. You're listening to what's being said this morning because God chose you to listen to what is being said. Because you have received the truth. I want to say, when you receive the truth of God's word, you receive the true riches. It's the true riches. And these are wonderful words. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now I want you to know that you are brethren, you're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you're beloved of the Lord. And God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14 says, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now it says, just be faithful. Just be faithful, brother. Just be faithful, sister. Stand fast. Don't be moved. Don't move away from the truth you have. Stay with what you have.
Amen.
Keep it. Don't move away from it. Don't let anybody come and move you away from it, but you stand fast. Verse 16 said, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Amen.
So God wants to establish your heart, and He wants to comfort you at the same time in every good word and work. Now I'm moving on. I don't know if I've read. Yes, I have read there what I wanted to read. Now, I want you to notice, and I should have maybe, I spent a little more time on verses 13 and 14 where he says, thanks, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. God hath. God, something that God done. Wasn't anything we done, it was something that God done. And He chose us for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You know, God wants you to say amen to this word. God wants you to say amen to every word that He has ever spoke. He wants you to amen it. Isn't that true?
Amen.
I believe it brings the blessing.
That's right.
Now I'm going to move on. And I want you to notice there, I'm not writing it on the blackboard, but I want you to notice that the true riches is a love of the truth. And also, there's a connection between the two, riches and faith and faithfulness. I believe that, and I believe what Jesus said, if we're faithful in that which is least, we're going to be faithful in that which is great. Greater. Now, Peter, I want to look at Peter, and I'm almost through, believe it or not. As time I've come till a close, but listen. In the book of Acts, if you'll turn with me to chapter 3 in the book of Acts. Now, this is an account of two men going up to the temple to pray. And I want to draw your attention to verse 6. Now I'm going to read from the start of the chapter. I'm going to read from verse 1, but I want to draw your attention to verse 6. Because verse 6 here is the key, I believe it's the key verse in the event that took place. And we read in verse 1 of Acts chapter 3, we read these words. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And listen to this. Now you know this story, but listen again. And don't listen with both your ears. And see this here. Verse 2 says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. I want you to notice that. This man was lame from his mother's womb and he was carried. This man never walked in his life. He never took one step, imagine. Can you imagine him as a baby in the pram? Can you imagine him as a baby in the cot? Can you imagine his mother trying to get him to dangle his wee toes or his wee feet on the ground? And he, when never should just lean the least wee bit of weight on him, he would just fall down. And he had no power in his feet or his ankle bones. He had no strength. And he never took one step. And he continues to develop, and he develops into a man, and he has never walked. Never one time did that man take a step. Never one time did he walk the length of himself. He never walked across the room. He was carried. He had a wheelchair. He had a mobility sticker. He needed one. There's people today has them and don't need them. He had a mobility sticker. He's just learning. He's carried. You see, it says, whom they led daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. They took him every day. They had to take him every day. You know what else? They had to go and bring him back. There was maybe a man employed. There was a man who had a job to look after this man. Maybe there was maybe two men employed. These boys were paying their mortgage for this. See? Take him down every day, leave him there. What was he? He was a beggar. Now he didn't want to be a beggar. It wasn't his fault. I don't believe it was his fault. I don't believe it was his mother's or his father's. I believe there's only one you can put the blame on, not Satan.
That's right.
Satan was to blame. He was to blame. And now this man is carried and he's laid there every day. There's that old beggar. There's that old boy there again. And maybe he wasn't all that old. Maybe he was a young man. The Bible doesn't say it. It just said he was carried. There was a certain man and he was carried there. Dealer. He's at the gate of the temple. He's asking for alms. Boy, this was a day like any other day perhaps. And he sees two men come. Oh boy, when he seen these two men, he seen two men that had something. These two men had the true riches on them.
Amen.
These two men was carrying something. These two men had something. And he held out his hands, we sing a wee song, and he asked for alms. And it says in verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then listen to verse 6. Boy, this is the key. Then Peter said, what did he say? He says, I'll run down to the bank and go to the hole in the wall, put the card in, and I'll pull out £30. Didn't say that. Now, Peter could have walked on past him. John could have walked on. These two men could have walked on past him. Isn't that right? But they didn't walk on past. They stopped and said, look on us. And the man's expecting something. You see, there's an expectation that he's going to get something, but he did. He got something, but he didn't get what he was really expecting. He didn't get what he wanted, but he got what he needed.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
You know, when you meet a man of God, you mightn't get what you want, but you can get what you need. Hallelujah. Yes. And there Peter says, look on us. And Peter goes on in verse 6 and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising. And you know what happened? The word went out quick, and the man or the men that brought him every day and come back for him, they lost their job. They were at the brew office the next Monday morning. Out of work. What did you do? Well, I lifted and led people. You know, when the Holy Ghost hits you, you'll not need lifted or you'll not need led.
Amen.
You'll be there on your own. You'll be there on your own. You'll get to the meeting on your own. You'll not need to be carried.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost hits you, you'll be changed.
Yes, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
See, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Now he wasn't acting a tin pig, as they used to say. He wasn't acting tomfoolery, he wasn't acting a fool. He wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. He said, silver and gold have I none. You know, he was a bit like myself, there wasn't much in the pockets. But what had he got with him? He had got what the Lord said about him. He said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
He just happened to have the keys of the kingdom on him. He just happened to have on him what the Word said he would have on him. He had the true riches on him. He had something that's worth more than gold.
Amen.
He had something that's worth more than silver.
Amen.
Now, too many preachers today, they want the gold and they want the silver, but they don't want the true riches. Now, I believe Peter was in the upper room. I believe he had an upper room experience. And when he got an upper room experience, he wasn't out hungering. He wasn't hungering for silver. He wasn't hungering for gold. But he was hungering for the true riches. He was hungering for the power of God. He was hungering for miracles. He was hungering for the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the living God, that's the hunger that was on him.
Amen.
You see, when he came up to that man, now there's people today, and they're anointed. Now let me say this. I believe in the anointing. I believe in the anointing. But when Peter had the anointing, it wasn't false. Now he wasn't false.
Amen.
He was real.
Yes.
And you know, Peter didn't say to that man there that was laying there, what could he have said to him? Well, he was never going to say this to him. He could have said to him, look, by it, we're having a big crusade, and we're having a big meeting, we're having a big tent meeting, my name's going to be up there in lights. Come and hear this gifted man, and my name's going to be up there, and we're going to be asking you, we're going to get you anointed. We're going to get you anointed. Well, how are we going to get you anointed? I'll tell you how we're going to get you anointed. We're going to have a big barn up here at the front. A barn! 40-gallon barn! That's what oil comes in. Molasses. Years ago, barns was used more. A barn of oil. Now, some people here maybe never seen a barn, but a barn is a container that holds 200 litres in modern-day language. It's 200 litres, but in the old measurement is 40 gallons, a 40 gallon barrel. But Peter could have said, I'll tell you what we're going to do, we're going to have a big barrel up here at the front. And we want everybody that has a need and everybody that has a problem, you have to come up here. And you know, I was in a meeting when this happened. I have the t-shirt. I tell you what I've got with me, but got the fire. When you get the fire, boy, it gets away with the world. Well, I was in a meeting once, there was a big barrel at the front. And it was Pentecost, and now God's in Pentecost, but God's not in foolery. God's not in showmanship. And Peter didn't anoint this man at the gate and say, oh boy, I'll learn you how to dance, or I'll learn you how to go on like a house of chickens. You'll be flopping up and down. And you'll be squealing and yelling and shouting and making all sorts of noises and standing on your head and falling on the floor. Now, you know, didn't see anybody falling on the floor in Brother Branham's meeting. Didn't read about anybody falling on the floor when Jesus preached. You know, when I was in Pentecost, I told them this. I told them that when Jesus went in and prayed for Peter's wife's mother, that she was in bed and she was sick of a fever, and when the Holy Ghost hit her, she didn't go down, she got up.
Amen.
And when she didn't only get up, but when she got up, she ministered to them.
Yes.
I have to move on. Oh boy, I'm long, I'm slow. The idea of this big barrel at the front was you had to put your money in there. And when you put your money in there, then there was an arm on or man there, and they were going to pray for you that a double portion of the Spirit would come on you that was on this other man of God. You know what? I'm sitting in that meeting, and there's another man who has went on to be with the Lord, and I believe he was a man of God. He has went on to be with the Lord. And he didn't have any money on him. He had no money on him whatsoever. And you know what they had done? There were side doors, and they pulled the curtains over the side doors, and they closed all the doors, and they locked all the wanted to lock the doors to keep you in so you couldn't get out. What's that? Lock the doors and don't let them out. Hey, if I said to Samuel, bar the door at the back there, and I'm going to bring a big bucket here, and you have to come up and put your money in it, and if you don't put your money in it, you'll not be anointed. God didn't send the Holy Ghost to anoint you to give money. Now, I believe in giving money. I believe in tithing. I believe in that we're not to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. I believe in that. But also, I don't believe in begging. And I was in that meeting, and I was sitting down, and there's a man, there's somebody sitting beside me, and I said, I'm not going up there to get paid for it. Oh, you're very foolish. And I says, no, I don't want that. I said, I don't want it, for I says, how am I ever going to do twice what that man done? Now, they were praying that a double portion of the Spirit that was on him would come on them. And the people was going up, and they were putting in more money, hoping that they would get more. When they put more in, they were hoping they would get more out. You know, some people that say they're anointed and say they're Pentecost, and what, you know what they have? They have a big offer and it's on the pulpit. And they say, come up here and God will anoint you when you get it. Paul met a man like that, didn't he?
Yes.
He said, pray for me, that whom I lay their hands on, this power will come on them.
Right.
What did Paul say? He said, I perceive that you're in the gall of bitterness.
Right.
Repent!
Amen.
You see, that there is the spirit of delusion. That's the spirit of Antichrist, really. Letting on, even Satan himself has turned into a minister of light. Oh, the time is gone on me. But do you know what I'm saying? God wants to give us the genuine article. Why accept the counterfeit when you can have the real thing? God wants you to have the real thing. You know, there's something about Peter here, and I could stay a while on Peter. But you know something that Peter done? I've written it down here. He said, silver and gold have I known. Now, first of all, when he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, he didn't confess to have anything. But here he's confessing that he has something. He's confessing here that he has something. He has something. Peter, what did you say? He said, such as I have.
Amen.
Oh, boy. Such as I have, he said. You see, he's confessing he has something.
Amen.
He knew, when Peter walked up there, Peter knew he had something. What had he got? He had the true riches. How did he get them? Why? He was just faithful. He just stayed faithful and God helped him. And he, no one else about him then. No one else. He's not only confessing that he has something, but there's something else about him. He's wanting to share it. He's wanting to share it. Such as I have. He didn't say, I'm going to keep it. No, he didn't say that. He says, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. He said to the lame man, he says, you see what I have got? I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to share it. I'm going to start to tell somebody else.
Amen.
I'm going to start to practice what I preach. I'm going to start to believe God, that God is going to do a supernatural work. I'm going to share what I have got. You know, do you see Peter and John? Do you see you, brother and sister? Now, I'm not cross at you. Don't ever think I'm cross at you. But I'm going to tell you this. You see, if you don't share what you've got, nobody else will ever know. Nobody else will never, ever, ever know. God help us to share what He has given us. Because whenever you share it, somebody else knows. You see, whenever Peter said, such as I have, now he confessed it something. What had he? The three riches. Why, he didn't dance around him like a turkey. He didn't throw water on him and the man didn't start laughing and go out of control laughing. Peter didn't have the Toronto blessing.
Amen.
He knew it wasn't the true riches.
That's right.
But you see what has happened in the last days. The devil has come. And he's done a trade. And he's given people desires in their heart which is not from God. And he has given them false poverties instead of true riches.
Amen.
And God has allowed them to have a delusion. Well, they think they're right. What are we? We're heading up, aren't we?
Amen.
You know, I think of one of the last visions that Brother Branham saw. And it was, it's frightening. They're all frightening. But this last one, he saw America smoldering and craters everywhere. He said California would go into the sea. Los Angeles would go into the sea. You know, people here are talking about Brexit. You think they hear them were for the hangman's noose? What are they going to do whenever Los Angeles goes into the sea? Thank God, I believe God's prophet said the bride's going to be gone.
Amen.
We're going to be out of here. Why are we going to be out of here? The Lord has allowed you and allowed me to have the true riches. So be a wee bit of truth. You know, there's a scripture, and I never turned to it. Sure missed it. I'll just try and tell you. But it was about the man who received the 10 talents. And what did the Lord say to that man? Now this is to do with you sharing what you have. The Lord said to that man, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Thou hast been faithful over little things. Wee small things. You've been faithful over them wee small things. He said, be thou ruler over what? 10 cities. What comes with faithfulness? What comes with... I should have said this, but I missed it out. What comes with being true to God's word and the true riches? What comes with them and being faithful? I said there was a price for being unfaithful and for rejecting the truth. But there's also a reward. On the other hand, for you, if you receive the truth and love the truth, there's a reward. What is the reward? The reward, Peter demonstrated the reward. The reward equals power and authority. Want you to hear that again? The reward equals power and authority.
Amen.
Why am I saying that? Well, I'm not going to turn it. The time is gone. I'm sorry, the time is gone. Oh, John, just have it. Yeah, sure, he thought he had it written down. He had it written down. I'll tell you where you'll find it. And maybe Matthew will turn it up. It's Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 17. And this is the reward. Maybe give us a few more verses, Matthew, please. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thy authority over 10 cities. That's enough. Because thou hast been faithful over a very little. Over a very what? Over a very little. Have thy authority over 10 cities. You see, whenever Peter and John came up, he said, such as I have, what had he got? He had a power and he had an authority that come from God. He had the true riches. He had the thing that lift you out of the wheelchair. You know what we need to see? Do you know what we need to see? We need to see the blind receiving their sight. We need to see the lame walking. We need to see the creative power of God. We need to see the dead being raised again. That's power and authority. How do you get it? You get it with being faithful. How do you see it being manifest? Use what God has given you.
Amen.
Share what God has given you. You know, I could go round this room this morning, and if I wanted to, I could tell you something that God said. But you know what he's saying? He's saying you start to share what you have, and he'll do the rest.
Amen.
But he says if you withhold from sharing it, he'll not do anything. Now you can take the spade and dig the hole and bury it. And when he comes back again, you can bring it out and say, there's it there, I buried it. He didn't give it to you that you would buy it. Brother, he didn't give you faith that you would keep it all for yourself. Brother, sister, he didn't give you faith that you would hide it under a bushel. He didn't do that. He didn't call you that you would go away and hide somewhere. He called you that you would meet them that's in need and say, such as I have, give I unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen.
You know what I want to say? I want to see real Pentecostal preachers. I want to see real Pentecostal believers. I don't want to see make-believers. I don't want to see a bunch of actors. I don't want to see a chicken coop. I want to see an eagle. I want to see a man or woman who's got faith in God and say, I believe God. I'm going to ask God and I'm going to believe Him. I want to see a man or woman say, such as I have. That's the true riches. You know, these people can do all these things and say they're anointed. Would you bring in a demon and they can't cast them out? You bring in a cancer case and they can't get to know the living. What are they? They're a perversion of the real thing. What's on them? A delusion's on them. Why, people are wondering who the Antichrist is going to be. All the time we know who he is. What are we heading up to? What did Jesus say? He told the story about the wicked judge and the widow woman coming to him, didn't he? And he said, she kept on coming. And what did the judge say? He didn't fear God, and he didn't regard man. He was an early atheist. He didn't fear God, no. And he cared about nobody, only himself. He was number one. He'd have walked over you, if you'd have been lying on the street down, he'd have walked over the top of you. If you were sinking, he would have pushed you on down. But this woman kept coming. And he said, I'll avenge her, at least she wearies me. And what did Jesus say? He said, hear what the unjust judge said. And he said, shall not God avenge them that cry unto him day and night, though he tarry long with them? But then he goes on to say, when he, the Son of Man, has come, will he find faith on the earth? I tell you, he's going to come again. I trust he'll find faith in you. My watch is maybe 3 minutes fast, or 4 minutes, 5 minutes fast. I went on to 1 o'clock. Don't worry, we'll get out quick. God bless you. I want to say the true riches is on you. If it wasn't on you, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. You wouldn't be in this room this morning if you hadn't got the true riches. And I believe God has given to you. May the Lord help us to use it. Just a quick prayer. Our Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you for an opportunity to share your word. And Lord, let the same Spirit that raised you from the dead dwell in us, Lord, and quicken us. And help us to go from this place and become doers. Help me, Lord, to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But Lord, I say these things this morning to encourage each one. Lord, to help us to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. To help us, Lord, that we'll want the true riches. And, oh God, that we'll have something in us that will make us recognize and be able to say, like Peter, when he came up to the beautiful gate of the temple, he said, such as I have. Oh Lord. You know today what we have and what we haven't. Lord, if we're lacking in anything, give it to us. Lord, let us experience the true riches, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost come on us, Lord. Lord, when your Spirit comes on us, Lord, let it be that it glorifies you and not us, Lord. Lord, we're not seeking our own, Lord, but we're seeking yours, Lord. And Lord, not we know silver and gold can be very handy in the material world and in the world in the flesh and in these things is very useful. But it's no good when we meet the devil. It's no good when we have to pray for the sick. It doesn't work, Lord, when we come against a case where there's a demon and he's taking control of the life. But I ask, Lord, that you'll help us to share what we have and give it to others who are in need. And Lord, that they'll begin to leap up and to walk and receive strength in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that the keys of the kingdom is the power of binding and loosing. And we bind and we loose. We bind the works of Satan among us.
Yes.
We loose the Holy Ghost upon your people, upon your bride, upon the brothers, upon the sisters, and even upon the children, Lord. We loose your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, that there'll be an increase and that there'll be your power demonstrated innocent to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's start our feet. Praise God. I really enjoyed the word this morning. I believe it's a word from the Lord. Praise God. You know, a few weeks ago, it might have been the last time John preached, there was a prophecy in the meeting. My dad gave a prophecy in the meeting. Well, the next morning, Monday morning after that, there was a man sent me a message on Twitter identical to that prophecy. And I was praying for an answer about someone. And I'm not going to take your time. I know the time's gone. This is just what John, Brother John said. But this man's known throughout the Pentecostal movement. He's a real prophet and all. He's known us. Everybody knows him. I'm not going to mention his name. And he got asked me a few questions. And we talked back and forth in this message and all the rest of it. Then the next thing he says, God really wants to bless you, brother, and bless your ministry. But you need a soul. A certain figure of money. And he sent back and he said, you need to do it right away to an orphanage of his choice. And I sat and I said, well, I haven't got no money to sow to start with. And you know what I sent him back? I sent him back a message. I said, I also am a man of God. And I have a word for you from the Lord. If you need to send me 25,000, I'll meet it that. For I have need. Never heard another word. That was it over.
Amen.
Never heard another thing.
Amen.
And you remember well, there's a man come here and he made a big display in this meeting for to get people to give me money. And he come up and made a big show with an envelope full of coins. But he didn't give the money he had in the cash in his pocket that day. He gave the coins because they were in his room to come back home where he come from. That's why you get the coins. He's done a fair show on the flesh. It's the truth what our brothers preached this morning. Who wants the real riches?
Amen.
Amen. Silver and gold. Not the power of God, amen. I'm going to take no time up. I know God can bless you and give you anything. God can do it. God can do it. My dad was telling me the other day about John Heavy. He needed £1 million when he started. Felt God called him on this program to get the gospel out. He needed £1 million. What?
He didn't need £1 million. He needed money. And he needed money on a man who drove him in a heritage program and heard him preach him. This was years ago when he was a younger man and heard him preach him. And he was going to give him the donation and he said he wasn't a Christian and he didn't believe in gospel preaching. He said he had sent him the donation and he never wanted it. He said, don't put me on your mailing list for I never want to hear from you again. But I'm going to send you a donation. And he sent him a donation. The next morning he received a check. The donation was for $1 million. And he phoned up the place and he said he thought, first of all, the man was drunk when he was handling that he was going to get him the check. He was going to donate $1 million to him. He thought he was a drunk. And the next morning when he got the check or whatever he received the check, he rang the bank. And the lady in the bank, he said, I've got a check here from such a man naming his name of a donation of $1 million. And he said, would it be good for that? She says, yes, it would be good for that on Saturday and more. And he said that God spoke to him and said if God still didn't give, he would use the unbelievers to give. That was the testimony.
But I'm going to tell you something on this for a reason. I told you that I know the brothers preached in the time's gone. But I'm telling you, that wasn't the man that sent me the message. He was fake. He was using the man's identity on one of them Twitter sites or some of them sites. The man of God never sent me the message. It was another man, an imposter, letting all of us in. But a man did send me the money I needed the very next day.
Praise the Lord.
God sent me.
Praise the Lord.
Now, it wasn't 25,000. I didn't really need the 25,000, but I wanted to give him a good test. The Lord did give me what I needed. I knew he was faith. The Holy Ghost told me he was faith. And it's true what a brother said. How do you know the false? Look at the real. Amen.
Amen.
We've seen the real. Jesus is real. Praise God. The Lord bless you, Brother John. I've really enjoyed it. You know, and I believe it's all of God this morning. And the time might be gone, but a brother's going to come and we're going to sing him before we go. And the Lord bless you. And don't forget to come tonight. So true what John said this morning as well. Sometimes people don't want to come to church. You'd near have to carry them. When people come and they make decisions and you hardly see them, you near have to go to the house and carry them to church. I tell you, when you really get the Holy Ghost, you want to come to church.
Amen.
When God got a hold of me, I couldn't get enough meetings. 5 meetings a week I went there. Couldn't get enough. But only the Lord does that. The Lord bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Yeah, well, the Lord bless
you.
Really enjoyed the service myself. Lord bless. It's tough to leave. We're going to sing just that verse. We're just going to go, John's friend. And we're going to leave us. We sing that there is victory for me. There is victory for me through the blood of Christ my Savior. There is victory.
There is victory.